This will be lesson one, and it is the heavens declare my glory. And in just a moment, we will have that on the screen. Thanks, Vicki. And so what we're going to look at is, as you know, we did not have a Bible for the first about 2,600 years from the time you studied the genealogies, from God creating the first man that was a living soul. Now, how many of you have been to Glen Rose, Texas, where man and dinosaur's footsteps are fossilized and immortalized forever? And some of you are probably astute in studying to know that there is a very large movement of Christians that believe in a young earth theory, whereas in the earth is only about 6,000 years old. And their philosophy is that dinosaurs and men live together. Now, I've got to tell you, I wasn't here, so I don't know. But I do know this, however old the world and the universe is, and just so you know my opinion, because it's in the Bible codes and other things, I believe the universe is about 15 billion years old, and that's no time at all. That's why your life's a vapor. But before God ever put his writings on parchment or in tablets of stone, he wrote them in the heavens. And so what you are going to see as this series called The Heavens Declare His Glory is you're going to see the awesomeness in the mind of the Creator as he laid out his whole plan as to what would take place here on planet Earth with man, his fall, his redemption, his Redeemer, and his reward. The greatest mystery that scholars cannot answer is, how does a God that has prophesied the end from the beginning allow man to have free will and then bring the two of those together that it can honestly work out to be what he has said? I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but no one can explain that. But I will say this. Regardless of how that works, when we look at what we are about to see, we're about to study the constellations, because the constellations were the first Bible. And our Bible is written according to the star signs in the heavens. And I do not want anyone to think that we are trying to get into horoscopes or anything that's unbiblical. But everything that God set forth has been perpetrated by the spirit of darkness, music, anything he ever gave us, and has been used not to glorify him. So today we want to glorify God in this series as we begin to look at what the Bible is trying to teach us that has been lost, and we are trying to bring it back to man. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. Now the Bible tells us here that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech. Now, you need to catch this. This is the purpose of God. We have just come out of a series of lessons that we found out are based on God's heavenly clock, the moon, the lunar calendar, the biblical calendar. So this is not a far stretch at all for those of you that are in this advanced class to understand. God has tied everything he does to signs in the heaven, even the coming of man. And the purpose for him doing that is that man, in all of our infinite knowledge that we have gained, cannot change the star signs or the rotation of the planets, or the length of rotation. Now, man can, I'll just throw a few things at you. Man can, in the deepest, darkest, secret realms of scientific knowledge, man can clone, and man can try to clone a human being, and what he clones may end up looking like some gray thing with a big head and big eyes, because it's not human. And we may get sown that and say, oh, that's alien life. And man can perpetrate great deceptions. But man couldn't touch the heavens. And so what we see here is, he says, there's no speech nor language. In other words, it's like music. The great mathematician that gave us music, I can take a trumpet, I can take a guitar, I can go to any place of any language on earth, and I can join with the musicians and speak the same mathematical language, and everyone will understand. We can go take a Beatles song, and I can go to China right now. I don't speak Chinese, but if I play an instrument, I can join in with the band, we can speak. So God said, I am going to take something that will transpose or go beyond any speech in the earth. So there's no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the heavens that are speaking a message. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to which, the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom. Now you're going to begin, because of your knowledge, to put together some thought processes here. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit into the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, this is written in the book of Psalms, chapter 19. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we are speaking of the heavens that God set forth before the earth was ever made. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and then for time, for days and for years." And so we have gotten into where time, as man knows it, did not begin until Adam, and we've gotten into the expansion of the universe, and we've walked through those things. But here we see that he lets us know that these things he's placed in the heavens are for signs. This word signs in the Hebrew means signals, flares, beacons. In other words, like road signs. Okay? Next slide. And so Job, which is the oldest, I believe, book that we found of the Bible, in chapter 38... verses 31 through 32. This was written before Moses was given the Torah. And it was written in about 2,150 years before Christ. Moses was given the Bible about 1,500 years before Christ. I'm talking about the Torah. And so Job is asking a question back then. He says, "Can thou," God's asking Job a question, who had become, you know, the perfect man, so to speak. He says, "Job," he said, "you've grown to be such a..." A lot of people think one of Job's problems is he accumulated a lot of pride because he was such a righteous man. "Can thou bide the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Job, can thou bring forth Maseroth in his seasons?" Now, God would not ask Job a question that Job had no knowledge of. So what God is asking him is, he says, these things you're looking at and studying, in other words, can you change the constellations? Can you change the seasons? You haven't arrived yet, Job, but more or less what I believe is being said here. Next slide. So in the book of Romans, we're going to jump to chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. And what you are looking at on this screen is a map of the 12 constellations. Interesting, the number 12. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 through 18, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world." Now, we as Christians are very good at quoting the first portion of this verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But let's go on. Let's add to one of our favorite verses and complete the story. "But I say, you've already heard. Their sound that transposed every language, that went beyond every barrier of every race, every tongue, every creed in the earth, every man that stands on planet earth and looks into the heavenlies. Their sound's already spoken. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world." Now, we have lost the meaning of what this means. He is speaking here of the 12 constellations and their story that they've told. Next slide. So why did we look up and there are 12 constellations? As you look at these 12 constellations placed there by the Creator, the same one that made you and I, each one of these constellations, there are 360 degrees in a circle, 360 degrees. So each one of these constellations covers 30 degrees of the heavens, so to speak, of the orbital path of the earth as it goes around the sun during the year. And as you look at a compass, 360 degrees on a compass, those of you that are pilots listening, those of you that fly, if I tell you to land on runway 12, it means I've turned my compass to 120 degrees, put my autopilot on it. All your runways are aligned with compass headings, and so on and so forth. So as we look at what God has set up, this great Creator, this awesome mathematician, He has placed 12 constellations that our Earth moves through the path, and they cover the 360 degrees of that orbital path, so that we move through each one of them as it tells the story. So why are there 12 constellations? Well, why are there 12 tribes? The 12 tribes of Israel: Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, Issachar, Gad, Dan, Ephraim, Benjamin, Reuben, Judah, Simeon. Is that a coincidence? After He's told us, the heavens declare My glory. Let's get a little closer to home. Why were there 12 apostles? Well, before He ever came up with the 12 tribes, that was God's idea. Before He ever came up with 12 apostles, that was God's idea. The sound of the 12 constellations in the heaven, that was God's idea. He had already set the pattern. I think this is such a faith-building thing when you see it. Oh, let's come even closer to where we live. Why? How many numbers are on a clock when we tell time or we look at a watch? Well, with digital today, we have missed out a bit on the hands orbit around a circle, and they move through 12 numbers on a clock. Someone designed that thought process. Why is time broken down that way? Well, I'm glad you asked. How many tribes were to camp around the tabernacle and it being the center of their timepiece? Why 12 tribes? And interesting, if I ever get to that place in being able to teach it, we'll probably run out of life before I run out of lessons. But each place that those tribes were instructed to camp around that tabernacle prophesy the story. So if you want to know where we are, find out where the tribes camp. You want to tie that together, then go to the book of Revelations and look at the beasts that camp that are around the throne, and then figure out, wow, each one of these beasts, that's the sign of one of the 12 constellations in the heavens. And then you can see what direction heaven faces. There is so much hidden in this book called the Bible that my desire is, I only have one desire: to bring people to maturity. And I have found out that the only way you can bring people to maturity is to get them to reprogram their mind with the Word of God. And if you will spend time reprogramming your mind with the Word of God, you will be bulletproof. You will be bulletproof. Your life will come to a place to where the same message will come, but you will never have a faith crisis, because you will know God's for you and He's with you. So there's 12 tribes. They were camped around. Now, when we look at the Sphinx, I've watched A&E. It is an amazing channel that can really seem to debunk Scripture, and they throw PhDs in front of people's names, and sometimes I wonder, have you really studied the Bible? Then I realize He confounds the wisdom of the wise, the fishermen He reveals truth to. They can't figure the Sphinx out. Well, it's real simple. That thing standing behind me that's been there since who knows how, that large pyramid that stands behind about probably 3/4 of a mile from it there, it's huge, that the capstone's never been set on. This is my opinion. Doesn't make me strange. I'm just giving you a studied opinion. We don't know who built that pyramid. I believe Enoch did. It went through a flood. It stood there. And I won't get into all that right now. But it is an incredible building. Its only door points to Bethlehem. And Jesus says, I'm the stone that the builders rejected, and it never had a capstone put on it. And I can go on and on and on. And it was called the light because it was covered with... Well, let me get out. That's not the lesson. So the Sphinx, why is it the head of a woman and the body of a lion? Well, very simply because they understood then that if you want to know where do you start in a circle? I mean, a circle's unbroken. It's like your wedding ring. It's a band of mercy and grace. It's like the lid to the Ark of the Covenant called the mercy seat. It's a circle of gold. No one knows where God's mercy begins. No one knows where it ends. But what is left to us is a sphinx. What is left to us is the story of the Bible. And so we know where to start in the constellations. It starts with, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And it ends with the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the sphinx, someone understood correctly where to start in each of the 12 constellations. Now, next slide. Each of the 12 constellations, and you'll need to grasp this to see the beauty of creation. So what we have is we have 12 major constellations. But within each of those constellations is a story written. So inside of each constellation has one major sign, which the constellation's named after. And then you can find this in science books or astronomy books. And then each one has three minor signs within that same constellation. And the major signs, where we get the name of the constellation, and the three minor signs within each of the 12 major signs are called deacons. This means that there are 48 pictures that God put in the heavens, or 48 houses. Now, when God gets them to the promised land, a type of heaven, Numbers chapter 35, verse 7. So all the cities which ye shall give to the priests, know you not we are kings and priests? All the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. The Bible, as I've expressed to you, is not only written according to God's feasts, to the sacrifices, to the temple, but He's tied it to the star signs also. And so as your knowledge grows of the miraculous, unbelievable, undeniable fact that this manuscript called the Bible could no way be written by any human being. So 48 pictures, 48 houses have surrounded our earth as we go through our orbital plane. And it's probably a coincidence, 12 constellations, 12 apostles, 12 numbers on a clock, 12 tribes, and you can just go on. 48 pictures, God says, I'm going to give the priests 48 cities. The first constellation we want to look at is called in Hebrew, Bethula. You know it as Virgo. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. When you look in an astronomy book, or if you are someone that has a telescope or observe the heavens, these can be seen with the naked eye. You see this constellation called Virgo. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, that's what Virgo, that's what we're saying in Bethula, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now in the right hand, so we have Virgo as being the major constellation. When we get into the deacons, and we get into the smaller star signs within this constellation, in the right hand of Virgo is a branch. Zechariah chapter 6, verse number 12. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Boy, this is really pretty coincidental so far, isn't it? Okay. The first deacon The first of the three minor star pictures within it, the name of that is called Coma. And it is translated the desired one. So we have the virgin that God placed there. The heavens have told my glory. And in this virgin's right hand is a branch. And the first of the three sub-stories is, or we call deacons, is called Coma, or the desired one. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 7. Because who is Yeshua Jesus? He is the desired one. He is the branch. Where would he come from? Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, and I shall shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And so we can see where, without me getting into all scriptural references, that each of these titles has and alludes to a Messiah that would come from a virgin. The second deacon, Centurius, and a lot of us have heard of this one. In Hebrew, it's Beza. It means the despised one. Isaiah 53 and 3. He is despised and he's rejected of men. He is a man of sorrow. He is acquainted with grief. You want to follow Jesus? Hang on, you're going to get to go through some of these things. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Pretty incredible. A virgin in the heavens. The story told long before Jesus would bring forth a son. She would hold a branch. He would be the desired one and also the despised one. Let's look at the third deacon, Boots, the coming one, the one who rules. And the bright star in the head is called Beta by astronomers, but its name is actually Nekar, which means the pierced one. So we can see where all of a sudden that predating Christianity, as we go through the truth that was handed down to Adam by God, as we understand, now you understand that it is a myth, a Christian myth, that people lived to be of old age in the Old Testament. People did not live of old age in the Old Testament. 10 men did. They were the Zadokim. They were the righteousness of God. And they lived to great age. And Methuselah, whose name means I will die in the day of the flood waters, he died the day of the flood. So he didn't go through the wrath of God, because God's not going to put his righteous men and women through his wrath, a typology. And so they live of great age, because as God walked in the cool of the evening, someone had to teach what we are now going back to learn has been lost. And God himself taught this to Adam, who lived of great age and knew I don't know how many generations. You can pull up on our website. I think we have a timetable there. And what you'll see is that as soon as the Bible's written, 2,600 and some years after God creates Adam, as soon as Moses writes it all down from only five mouths removed from Adam, that's it. He didn't need anyone else living to be 600 and 800 and 900 years old. They were the walking repositories of what you are learning here. And then God put it in writing. And as he put it in writing, he refers back to what was taught, and then the Bible fills in the blanks of everything that isn't spoken of in the stars, but it yet aligns with the heavens, because he is God in the heaven. And so what we see, according to the star sign in the Word of God, this virgin will bring forth a child called the branch. In Zechariah 3, chapter 8, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondering at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Isaiah 4 and 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now, I'm going to go ahead and slow down. I'm guilty of just hurrying through lessons, but the truth is, I want to get this. This word, the branch, is quite important, because everything in your Bible is a picture. What has been shall be. It's just one thing. Once you catch that. And so whenever Moses faces rebellion, who rescues Moses? the branch. Oh, how did he do that? He said, men, take your staves. He said, we're going to lay them out here, and the one who's buds, I'll answer. God says, I'll answer. The one that has fruit, it was the branch. And so, you understand. And by the way, it was an almond branch. It's the first seen as a tree of resurrection. The trees, we've lost the meaning of. When Zacchaeus climbs a sycamore tree. Well, when you go to, when we went to, it's still there today, when we went to Jericho, where Jesus is passing through, and Zacchaeus climbs a sycamore tree, and Yeshua, Jesus, says to him, hey, I got to go to your house today. Well, Zacchaeus, there weren't very many sycamine trees in Jericho. It's where Arafat lived and opened his casinos, and it, because it's a city of wells and palm trees. But Zacchaeus, even though it mentions he was a wee man, he didn't climb a sycamore tree for any other reason than he knew what I'm about to tell you, because a sycamine tree is seen as a tree of repentance. A palm tree is the tree of the righteous. That's what's in the temple, is the images of palms. So what I'm trying to bring back to you is not new revelation, but to fill in the gaps as God prophesied in His Word He would do in the last day, that the earth, even though we would go through a great drought for the Word, that still He would restore that that had been lost. And I've said this before, and I, and when I say things, I'm not angry, I'm not mad, I'm just expressing an opinion based on study, that when the Spirit-filled movement came in, God gave us the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us in all truth. Not to take it places we've never been, but to take us back to walking in His Word. And so the reason that we are a splintered body in America is because people have taken the Holy Spirit and turned it into something they use for whatever. And the truth is, it's supposed to be used to grow closer to Him, that you can discern the meanings of His Word, that your faith will grow, that you are a sound servant of the King, that He can train you and school you so you can reign and rule forever. And this is His purpose. So this branch, let's move on. So according to the star sign, this Word of God is going to bring forth a child. He's going to be named the branch. So you can see this branch. It ends up, where does it end up? Well, I'm glad you ask. Where does the branch end up? Well, that same rod, we now know how long the Ark of the Covenant is, so we knew how long Moses' rod was. Because take Aaron's rod, which Moses gave to him, that budded and placed it in the Ark. And Yeshua's, that's another lesson. So every one of these star signs and every one of their deacons, as you grow in your knowledge of the Word, you can begin to pull it in and begin to take portions and move these scriptures here and these scriptures here. And all of a sudden, things come together to where you see them so plainly. And truthfully, I've forgotten what it's like to have a faith crisis. I don't remember the last time I had a faith crisis. Now, I can tell you all the problems I've had and the situations and the trials of life. But after 32 years of spending a life in the Word, if I had a faith crisis, it just doesn't seem to me like anybody would have much of a chance. How much do you have to know to get faith? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're going to have problems, but not faith crisis. And this little lesson on the heavens will add to your Christian walk. So the other thing we see, now the next star sign we're going to enter into is Libra, the scales. Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and you are found wanting. And you remember the heathen king, and God writes on the wall, and He calls Daniel in to read what the handwriting on the wall is. And then those of you that have been studying with us in the days of awe and the Feast of Trumpets, you are weighed in the balance. Libra, the scales, a person holding a set of balances. The first deacon in Libra is the crux, the cross. Now, how am I weighed in the balance? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because if I'm weighed in the balance, I have serious issues. But if I'm weighed in the balance after I come through the cross, I have no issues at all, because I'll come forth as pure gold. And that is the gorgeous beauty of our faith in the one that paid the price, the desired one that by others is the despised one, who is the pierced one, who is the branch. Thy rod and thy staff, my branch, shall comfort you. And so this first deacon, the cross, in Hebrew, Adam, it means the cutting off. And this is exactly what the enemy of the kingdom of God used to kill our Messiah, to cut him off from the land of the living, was the cross. The next thing that we see, the second deacon, or the second minor picture in Libra, is called Victima. Well, that's easy enough. The victim. Now, in the earliest Arabian stories of this victim called Sura, and we have to, so I'm telling you this because if you go to an astronomy book or an astrology book today, it won't agree unless you go back to the earlier writings. And in the earliest writings of this particular picture, it was called the Lamb. So we have one who holds a scale, we have a cross, and a lamb, all in this second constellation. Revelations 13 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, hang on just a minute. The third deacon is called the corona, the crown. Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and for the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. I want to get through one more of the constellation, Scorpio, or the conflict of war. Revelations 12 and 9. And that now, Scorpio is the dragon in the heavens. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. So this Scorpio, which means the conflict of war. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Satan is the king of the scorpions in the conflict. That's why this star sign is there to tell us there is a conflict, there is a war in the heavenlies. Revelations 9, 10, and 11. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. So the first deacon, or the first minor star sign in Scorpio, is Ophiuchus. And that means the serpent holder, the one who is stopping the serpent from stealing the crown. Pretty amazing coincidence about these star signs. The second deacon is called Serpens, the serpent. And the third deacon, and I'm sorry I'm not taking time to express, you're seeing the pictures of the constellations, so pay attention to those. But here, this third deacon in this star sign, we call it Hercules, but its actual name is Gabor, the mighty one, El Gabor, the mighty one of Israel. That's a great song. And the brightest star in his forehead is named Ras Al Ghathai. It means the head of him who bruises. And so what we see is when we look at this star sign, it's not Hercules that is conquering the enemy. This is that virgin's son that's born, called the branch, the despised one, the one that's cut off by the cross, the one that's fighting for the crown, and he's fighting with the serpent, Satan, but he has power over the Satan, he has power over the serpent, and he bruises the head of the serpent. Why does it say he bruises the head as we study this historical star sign? Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So what we see is a perfect explanation of the fulfillment of the prophecy that whenever Adam and Eve fell, that ultimately man, the seed of a woman, the seed of a virgin, would step on the head of the serpent and would be the one that bruised his head, that conquers him. Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, El Gabor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We'll stop there, and next week we will start with Sagittarius.